I'm a defense attorney at Guantanamo Bay. Work for an organization called the Military Commissions Defense Organization. I don't speak for the United States, but only for my own client, Amaro Bellucci. Amaro Bellucci is best known as the character who was tortured for the first 30 minutes in the movie Zero Dark Thirty. He was held incommunicado in a CIA black site from 2003 to 2006, and then in 2006 was moved to Guantanamo Bay. In 2011, he was charged with alleged war crimes connected to the attacks of September 11th, and the case has been going on since that time.
You came to the UN today to speak on this, at this event about abolishing the death penalty. What was the main message that you wanted to convey?
The focus of today's conference at the UN was the question of transparency in death penalty. And we heard about a lot of different aspects. From the United States, we heard about the use of security laws like classification to keep evidence away from defense attorneys, even those like myself who have a security clearance. In other parts of the world, we heard about lack of transparency in who was convicted, who was executed, and in some situations, not even telling the families of those who were executed of the execution until after that time.
I mean, how corrosive is this lack of transparency? I mean, today, you know, you said that the U.S. has abandoned its responsibility to transparency and accountability. In what ways?
The whole Guantanamo Bay military commission system, which doesn't charge everyone at Guantanamo Bay, just some men there who are there, was set up to cover up evidence of that the United States had used torture and to provide impunity for the torturers. That system keeps information away from defense counsel who might be able to use it. And a perfect example, just with some numbers, is the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence did a review of the torture program, the famous torture report. They reviewed 6.2 million documents, but less than 15,000 documents have been provided to the defense. And those documents have all dates, names, and locations stripped out of them.
What, in your view, needs to change in terms of U.S. policy towards Guantanamo and to bring the U.S. more into line with international standards of human rights as regards torture and the death penalty?
The core thing that needs to change around Guantanamo is the government's policy of delaying, denying, and degrading information about its own investigation of the case. Ordinarily, in any criminal case, the taking of statements from the defendant, the investigation of evidence, searches, witnesses are all pretty much shared between the two parties. Here, the United States has taken a strategy of hiding as much of that information as possible so that it can protect the people who are involved in torture. There are a number of different agencies that are involved. I mean, the Department of Defense has really been carrying the water for other agencies, for intelligence agencies, in this prosecution. What it means is that instead of using the ordinary court system that complies with the international standards and the own constitutional standards in the United States, the United States has chosen to set up this special military court to try civilians, which is very, very unusual. One of the reasons is because of the interagency process where some people want information to come out, some other agencies don't want information to come out, and so they feel that in a military commission, they can tightly control the information.
What kind of signal does that send to the rest of the world?
There's a terrible signal that the United States is sending to the rest of the world that it's okay to try civilians in extraordinary military courts. But even worse is the fact that the United States has declared that those military commissions are not fair enough to try U.S. citizens. So it means that there's a two-tier system of justice, one for U.S. citizens and one for everybody else in the world.
And in terms of the U.N., is there any more pressure that the U.N. can bring to bear on large, powerful governments like the U.S. to change their policies as regards Guantanamo and the death penalty?
Especially around transparency issues, there's a lot that the international community can do. There are observers who are allowed to go to Guantanamo to see the trial. And in fact, France has sent on some occasions an observer to the trial of al-Nashiri, one of the six men who's charged in Guantanamo Bay and facing the death penalty. But otherwise, Guantanamo military commissions, as opposed to Guantanamo indefinite detentions, haven't received a lot of attention from the international community. And the international community could do a lot to at least find out what's going on at Guantanamo and bring it to the attention of the rest of the world.
Are there any specific things that entities within the UN can do to help bring that about?
That some entity within the UN or another international organization could easily send observers to the trial at Guantanamo in the way that many countries in the world expose their trials to observers. Those observers are neutral and they report on what's happening and perhaps make an evaluation of its fairness and its transparency, because if no one knows what's happening, you'll never have transparency.
And what are the chances of your client eventually having a fair trial, do you think?
I don't know whether there will ever be a fair trial at Guantanamo. It really depends on whether the United States decides to share the information that's needed for both sides to join the issue and have a fair trial, or whether it continues its current policy of delaying, denying, and degrading information about torture.
Is there anything else that you think people need to know about Guantanamo and about this struggle that you've been obviously professionally fighting for many years now?
The reason why the case has been going on for so long, first court hearing was in May of 2012, really is three reasons. The first is because the death penalty is involved at all. That makes everything more complicated and makes it longer. The second is that the different elements of the United States government keep interfering in the case. Some of the defense attorneys have been investigated. There have been credible reports of monitoring of attorney-client communications. I know for a fact that the FBI tried to recruit one member of a defense team as an informant. And the third reason is the government's discovery practices, or the practice of turning over information, where they go to such incredible lengths that take so long to hide information from defense attorneys who have security clearances at the highest levels.
Of course, the US government will argue if eventually the terrorists are caught and tried, then it's all going to have been worth it.
The trial is really only the beginning. There's an appeal afterward. There's the post-conviction review. Just today, October 10th, the Supreme Court denied review in a case, the one military commission case that was before it on appeal, to tell us whether these extraordinary courts can be used to handle the cases of civilians. The Supreme Court decided not to decide that case, which means it'll be at least another 10 years before we know the answer. We could go through all this for 15 years, and then easily the Supreme Court could say it's unconstitutional.